I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark in the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9. And if you're using one of our red Bibles in the pews, you'll find that on page 739. Page 739 in our red Bibles. While you're turning up to that, I want to remind you of a very special service that we're going to be holding on November the 1st. It was almost a year ago in the passing of our young sister, Grace Tofik. And we wanted to hold a memorial service in memory of Grace and invite all of you to come, as many of you can come. It's going to be November the 1st, and that will be at 10 o'clock in the morning here in the building. So we would invite you to come along to be a part of that special memorial service on November the 1st. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so that no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not, or he knew not what to say, for they were sore afraid. There was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. We'll end our reading there, asking for the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. The account of the Transfiguration comes with a backdrop of the Savior's path being dogged by the enemies that so often grieved him, but also by the lack of insight and understanding of his disciples. In chapter 6, his disciples did not regard the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, for we are told they considered not the miracle of the loaves, their hearts being yet hardened. Then in chapter 7, the Lord rebuked the hypocrisy of the Pharisees who added to the law of God by saying you have to wash before you can eat. And that was nothing really to do with hygiene. It was something to do with them adding a specific law to the law of God. And they were upset that the disciples of Christ did not do that. The Lord then gathered his people together and he told them to hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. The disciples then asked him concerning a parable that he spoke, and the Lord turned to them and he said, Are ye yet without understanding? Now we move into the 8th chapter and we find another miracle, this time the feeding of the 4,000, and they were catered, and then after that the Pharisees came and they also said to the Lord, We want a sign from heaven to know if you are legitimately the Messiah. The Lord said to them, No sign will be given, for a wicked and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. The Lord then after that began explaining to his disciples, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples thought that the Lord was speaking that to them because they had forgotten to bring bread with them. And the Lord said to them, How is it that ye do not understand? the word that he was speaking. Now we come into the ninth chapter in this portion that we have read tonight. And the Lord is taking with him Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. And there the Lord is radiated before them. And they see the glory of Christ. They had never seen anything like this before. And along with the Lord, there was Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with Christ. And all to have an ear to hear what they were talking about. But Peter, he jumped into the equation and he said, let us make three tabernacles or three tents, really monuments. They should be raised up, one for thee, one for Elias, and one for Moses. And it says he didn't know what he was saying because he was sore afraid. And then the cloud comes over him. And the cloud says, the voice of the Lord from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Friends, we're involved in teaching, in education. We are involved in the business of learning. And it would be very important for us to remember, as we are all teachers in one aspect or another, we need to remember this word of the Father from heaven to overcome our ignorance and lack of understanding. Because as soon as we would stop and point a finger at any one of the disciples for their ignorance or lack of understanding, you and I often fit into the very same category. We are there with them. And the Lord has to say the same thing over to us again. Because we are slow of understanding. Our hearts are hardened. We don't listen to what the Lord is saying. And so I want to leave those two words with you tonight from the seventh verse. The two words to impress upon our hearts tonight by the help of God, that we would hear Him. That the message of Christ would not be confused, and that we would not ignore His word, but that the word of Christ would surround us and govern our thoughts and our life. The first thing I want to leave with you is very simply the command that God gave. Hear. Hear Christ. This was a very rare audible communication from heaven. The Lord did this one other time at the baptism of Christ when He said from heaven, as the Spirit like a dove descended upon Christ, and He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So here we have it at the baptism of Christ, and now we find it again here in the Transfiguration. And all that God has to say to you and to me tonight, He has said it through His only begotten Son. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, tells us that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So now He's telling us, in the Old Testament, in the development and writing of the Scripture, He spoke through the prophets. But He said, He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. All that God wants to teach us and show us, He has done it and is doing it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus not only encompasses all that the Father has to say, but He is the very subject matter Himself. The message of the Son of God and of His redemption is the word that God has for this world. In John 1 and verse 1, we are told that Christ is the Word of God. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And then John goes on to tell us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All that we need to know about love, salvation, justice, judgment, it is all going to be learned as we learn of Christ and as we hear His Word. Am I speaking to someone here tonight in this building and you have never surrendered or humbled your heart before the Lord in salvation? Is Jesus Christ foreign to you in your heart? Oh, you've heard His name before. You know He was a person in history, but maybe you've never given your heart and life to Him. Let me exhort you on the authority of God's Word. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have here in this text the command that God gave. But notice secondly, please, the connection. Where are you going to hear the word of Christ? There is much talk today about being connected through the high speed, the internet. And the faster the transmission, the faster you can make your downloads and make the uploads and get all the information you need to know. And a lot of information you never knew that you needed, but you have it anyways. That's what's coming today. But how are you going to find out and hear the Word of Christ? In the 6,000 years of human history, the number of times that God spoke audibly from heaven proves that it is a very rare occurrence. God's exhortation is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You see, God has given to us His own precious Word. And it shows us that the Scripture is sufficient. The Scripture is all that is necessary for us to know the Word of Christ tonight. There are people who claim that God speaks audibly to them. Be very careful about people who come and make such claims, or that they have had a word directly from God and it's telling them to do this or to do that, or supposedly a word for the church today. Beware, my friends. For God has given to us His finished, His final revelation. It is His Word. And we have the Word of Christ. And the message of the Father, the command of the Father is, hear Him. The great theme of all the Scripture is Christ Himself. The Bible should be read with the Lord Jesus in view. For when we seek the Lord in all of the Bible, from the book of Genesis right through to Revelation, we see as the Holy Spirit and light enlightens our mind and our reading, we see the Lord in the obvious places. But as we dig deeper into the Scripture, you'll find the Lord in the obscure place. Remember when the Lord was walking on the road with the two to Emmaus? After He had risen from the dead, they did not know who the Lord was. And as He was giving them a Bible lesson on that walk, their hearts were burning within them because what they were hearing was music to their ears. And their heart responded to that word. But the Lord showed them out of Moses, in fact, beginning at Moses, and all the prophets and the Psalms, He expounded the word of things concerning Himself. You see, as we go to the book of Genesis, you'll find that Genesis is full of the message of God regarding the salvation of a lost humanity through Jesus Christ. At the very beginning, when the Lord, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and He slew the animals to give them coats of skins, there is a message there of substitutionary atonement. There's a message there that the just will die for the unjust, for the innocent animals lost their lives to provide covering for Adam and Eve who had sinned. And all the messages right through the entire Scripture that speak of the fullness of Christ. The Lord opened to them the Scriptures of things concerning Himself. George Mueller, the man of faith from Bristol in England, he had this to say: God's Word is the expression of His thought, the revealing of His mind and heart. The supreme end of life is to know God and to make Him known. And how is this possible so long as we neglect the very means He has chosen for conveying to us that knowledge? He's talking about a neglect of the Word of God. He said, even Christ, the living Word, is to be found enshrined in the written Word. Our knowledge of Christ is dependent upon our acquaintance with the Holy Scripture, which are the reflection of His character and His glory. Where will you find Christ today? You will find and hear His Word in the revelation that God has given. An anonymous writer some time ago wrote this about God's holy book. He said, this book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, and the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory and rule the heart and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is given to you in life. It will be opened in the judgment and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility and rewards the greatest labor. And it condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. The revelation that God has given is the place that we're going to hear the words of Christ. And to obey the command that God has given, hear Him. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the communication. We must hear the word of Christ personally. We can often see our similarity to Peter in the way he spoke rashly and unwisely in this circumstance. The tongue often gets blamed for this problem, and yet out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You perhaps have come across someone who, when is talking or you're in conversation, they're speaking and speaking, and they only take a breath long enough to think what they're going to say next, so that when you're talking to them, they're not really listening. You've been in a conversation like that before. Maybe you've been the one that's on the other end of the receiving of it. Peter was a little bit like that. He did not know what to say. He was not listening to what God was saying. He was not observing the circumstance. He rashly spoke ahead. And the thing that he said betrayed that he did not know. When the cloud covered over him and the Lord spoke to him, he was really saying, God was really saying to Peter, stop rambling. Be quiet. Listen. Listen to the word of Christ. Listen to my beloved Son, for if you listen to Him and you follow His word, you will be wise, Your pathway will be directed according to wisdom and light. The Scripture tells us, He that heareth my word and believeth on them, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Perhaps we are more like Peter than we would like to admit. For he would make the same mistake at different times in his life, Peter that is. The Lord would have to say to him again and again, Peter, do you not know? Do you not understand? Do you not see? And is it not true that in our lives it's because of willfulness or pride or selfishness that the Lord has to be patient with us and say to us again and again and again, have you not learned the lesson yet? Come back. Listen to the words of my Son. Hear Christ. Find in Him the direction and way of your life. I think sometimes in our worship we are like that as well. We come into the house of God, our hearts are not properly prepared. And the book of Ecclesiastes warns us, it tells us there, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Let these sayings, the Lord said, sink down into your ears. Sink down into your ears. What did the Lord mean when He said that? He said, don't let it go in one ear and out the other ear. He wants it to sink down into your heart, to yourself, your inner being, your soul. He wants you to take the things He is saying and listen to them. Hearing Christ will be done through a careful maintenance of your prayer closet. Wherever it is that you get alone with God and pray over the Scripture. We should be praying over the Word of God and asking the Holy Spirit to give us light and open His truth to us. We need to have the Lord speak to us personally. But let's hone in on the family and think of the responsibility of parents. If as fathers and mothers we are out of touch with God, we can expect that our present position will impact our families. The final responsibility of parenting and of guiding our home rests upon the father, or in the case of the remaining parent or provider, the one who has the responsibility for the child. That final responsibility is very great before God. Parents, what value do you place on the Word of God and on your walk with the Lord? Are you listening to the Word of Christ? Do you, by your example, show that God's Word must take preeminence in your household? Children are very quick to recognize a double standard. Children are very astute at sussing out hypocrisy and foolishness. Sometimes as parents will say to our children, you can't watch TV late in the evening because there are bad things on the TV. Well, it's not just the evening, is it? But there's a lot of junk and garbage that comes across the television. And yet, as mothers or fathers may be flicking through the channels late in the evening, and child might come along and say, well, how come you're doing this when you told me not to do that? Oh, I'm just looking at the news. That's usually the response. You see, hypocrisy and a double standard is very easy to see when our children are looking at our lives. And so you might respond and say, well, wait a minute. Does that mean I'm supposed to be perfect? The Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. One of those commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Yet how about when crossing the border and we are a little bit loath, maybe it's happened to you, to claim everything that you brought across the border because you didn't want to pay the duty. What are we doing when we do that? We're teaching our children that it's okay to bear false witness on a decided situation. So really what we're looking at is something that modern psychology calls situational ethics. Whatever is right at the time for you, that's what you do. Beware of a double standard. How perfect are we supposed to be as parents? Well, let's hear what the Lord said. He says in 1 Peter 1:15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, behavior." The Lord tells us over and over again, "I am holy, therefore be ye holy. Walk before me in truth and light." Strive after a perfect Christian walk. Will we attain that goal in this life? As long as we are in the flesh, we will always battle our weaknesses. We will battle our sinful propensity. We will battle all of these things that keep us going and sometimes going backwards. But yet the Lord has given to us His Word. Therefore, my friends, parents, hear the Word of Christ in your daily plans. Hear the Word of Christ when you're considering decisions that will affect the whole family. Hear the Word of Christ when you're disciplining your children. And don't pay attention to the foolish notions of this world's psychology. Listen to the Word of God when it comes to disciplining your children. Maybe when you're at the end of yourself because of a wayward child, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know where to go and what to turn to, come back, my friend, and hear the Word of Christ, for He has the answer for you. What are some of the problems that we face in putting this together? The problems of other voices that drown out the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. You come to get before the Lord in a quiet time, and the telephone rings, or the doorbell goes, or the cell phone goes off. So many distractions can come. We have to purpose in our hearts that we're going to spend that time, that secret quiet time with the Lord. But even at that point, there are so many voices that continue to come that drown out the voice of Christ. Maybe it's the busyness of our lives. Too busy. Running here, running there. So busy that we have not time for the Lord. What about the distraction of being over-involved and trying to live up to the expectations of other people around us? Parents, we must set our priorities. And we must hear the Word of Christ if we're going to lead our homes, our families in the right direction. And then we come right down to the hard part of carnality and wickedness in our own hearts. Be quite honest. Be honest with yourself. Is it not so often the case that you choose rather to do things that are the wrong pathway? And you know in your heart, and you're battling with this, we have our own rebellious and wicked heart. The Lord tells us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We thank God that He has given us a new nature, a divine nature. The nature of God has been infused into us, but as long as we're in the flesh, we still will battle with the old nature. And there's another problem that is confusing to many, many Christians today. Should I go in this direction or that direction? Who has the right word? There are so many voices, even Christian voices, that are speaking from those who you may have had respect for, successful Christian ministries. There are problems in this day. And I think of some of the modern evangelistic associations and fellowships, Promise Keepers, even Focus on the Family. These modern evangelistic fellowships that have imbibed an ecumenical spirit. And it's confusing to people. Because they respect the organization, and yet when the organization comes out and says something, well, I guess it must be right because they said it. Be careful, my friends. Did you not notice in the death of the last pope, how many evangelical groups tripped over themselves to send condolences or to speak so highly of the work that Pope John Paul II had done. Does that not alarm you? Beware, my friends, because the ecumenical spirit, the spirit of the age, the contemporary spirit, it is not the voice of Christ. It is not the Word of God. Even local Christian bookstores, so-called, have shelves lined with material for Roman Catholics. Now think about that. What message is that giving out? The message it's giving out to both Catholics and Christian and Protestants is that there is no difference. There is no justifiable or legitimate difference between what one says and what another says. We're both Christians. We're just two different kinds of Christians. That's not, my friend, what the Word of God teaches. Because there is fundamentally a different way of salvation. I mean, isn't the most important question, how is a man going to get to God? That question is so confused and is absolutely wrong in Catholicism as opposed to the other. I'm just using that as one example to give you an idea that there are problems and areas because there are so many voices are coming from every direction. Who do I believe? Who do I follow? My friends, when you're confused, you're uncertain, come to the Word of Christ. Because as you come back to the Scriptures, back to the revelation that is the inerrant, the revealed Word of God, we cannot go wrong as we follow humbly His pathway. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Christ without the camp. Where was He crucified? He was not crucified in Jerusalem. He was crucified outside the walls of the city. Study that, those three words, without the camp, in the Old Testament. You'll find there is a mine of wealth there in the teaching of why Christ was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. Let us therefore go unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. There is a reproach with the gospel of Christ. Let us listen to the Word of God and endeavor by His grace to be obedient to His Word. For as Samuel had to say to Saul many years ago, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to listen to what God is saying than to offer all of our sacrifices and all the things that we can do. This is my beloved Son, the Father said. Hear Him.